Good morning. Today is Monday, July the 27th. 211th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Eureka, etc., etc., Proud, etc., etc., our guy, Rob Arkley.
Hey, Rye, how are you?
I am here. You?
Well, you look summerish.
Yeah, when the heat comes on, the ties go off.
Okay. So is that the general dress code in your company?
No. No, this is more of a personal thing. If it's over 70, okay. I crap out. Literally, I kind of start shutting down. So.
Do you really?
Yeah. Until the winds pick up in the afternoon, and we can open up the windows and get that blowing through. I'm a cooked cookie.
Well, that's
it's kind of a little redundant, but it's...
We've had the nicest summer here this year. Boy, it's been beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. It would be interesting to be in San Diego with the rain.
Well, okay.
No.
It wasn't enough rain.
Get to the quote. Get to the
worry.
Quote.
All
I
right,
know.
The, all
just
right.
enough to take out the bridge.
Quote of the day. Not only is history written by the winners, it is also made by them. These wise words were spoken by Elizabeth Fiorenza.
Yeah, no kidding. Ain't that the truth? So what do you think of how Trump is playing out here?
That is such a great question. Trump has clearly struck a nerve and is resonating with a fair number of people. I think it basically gets down to the fact that a lot of people don't like politicians and they don't like government employees. And he's resonating on those two things.
So is it the Donald or is it somebody outside the fort?
I think that is what time will show us. And it's a great question, Brian, the way you did that. Is it just he uniquely sending the message or is the message out there and he's finally voicing it? And I think it's the latter.
That's my sense also, because he's not – while it's not – typically what is said and how it's said by those that are on the list, so to speak. He's saying what we're saying, what others are saying, what you hear on the street, regular guy talk. It's almost like it's a supervisorial race instead of a presidential race.
And it's refreshing. And people, I'm telling you, he is going to be cross-racially supported. He will not be supported just by white males, white
people. Yeah, he's not a special interest
group
guy.
No, it's pretty inspirational to see so many people of all walks of life. Now, the press hates him, and the internal Republican Party is horrified by him.
I think all the established politicians are concerned. I mean, the Dems.
No, he's a dangerous guy for the Dems. They are nervous with
everybody.
Him.
Everybody yeah. who's been in Washington, I think, is probably a little concerned about this.
Yeah, and you and I are both thrilled.
Yeah.
Stirred up.
Well, I mean, you look at either side. One side, it looks like it's a football team
yeah.
that's running. The other side looks like it's going to be a basketball team that's running. Nobody really clear cut out in front. And now here comes somebody nobody was thinking about. If this portends the future, oh my.
It's great. I don't like professional politicians, and I don't think they should be part of – to say you need executive governmental expertise, it's foolishness. And so I'm encouraged that people are just meeting it halfway.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, in considering some of the things that are out there that Donald Trump is bringing to the table on the national political scene, it's an interesting exercise to have the blanket pulled back and to see what's going on. I heard a quote earlier, I guess it was the tail end of last week, that over 400 former congressmen are lobbyists in Washington, D.C.?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, what do most of them do? They become consultants, either in the private or the public sector. They're not going to go back and be a lobbyist at their county or their state. They're going to play it out where the connections are. Okay, that makes sense. The other thing, and I thought this would be very intriguing if it was thrown out, and Trump hasn't talked about it, but I think everything's on the table now as everything's being stirred around, that the electeds who pass the laws have to abide by them. You passed Obamacare, you're subject to Obamacare.
Oh, isn't that
retirement,
fair?
Retirement. Employment law, employment law. Everything is treated the same.
I have tried so hard to get Republican leadership. I call it the anti-hypocrisy bill. And I've gotten no traction with it, and it should be a slam dunk winner, and it should be, no one should look askance at it. You can't get the votes.
You do unto others?
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. No,
it's kind of the mantra. Yeah. Do unto others, period.
No, do unto me
yeah.
what you're doing unto others.
Right, right. It just is.
It's outrageous.
Interesting, and I'm wondering if some of that discussion is going to come to the debates and to the forefront. I mean, we got a year plus, so there's plenty of time for it. And that's my hope, is that if Trump holds out long enough and continues to be a player, it doesn't have to be number one, but then somehow there's a dawning in the media that there's a lot of frustration. So whether it's a liberal or a conservative, doesn't matter. Questions start being asked that aren't being asked now. If that might be the real benefit of having him involved.
Yeah, but if I were one of the other two dozen candidates who pick a number, I would be carefully evaluating what has Trump done and what has he said and how can I replicate it.
I would think mimicry would be in there. Absolutely.
I think it could be
done. Or should be in there.
Yeah, but it could be done. It's not that hard.
Got a question for you. And I don't recall it ever happening, but then again, you're so much older than I.
I'm much older. A whole different decade.
Yeah. During the period, the process of where we are now, okay, we haven't gone to any conventions. Has there ever been an alignment of candidates to run as a ticket as you're going for electoral votes? Not at the convention where number one and number two get pushed together, and maybe it's like cats and dogs, but actually running as a ticket through the whole thing. So it's Rob and Brian. It's not Rob or Brian, but we run together, and the alliances are made early on.
Well, first of all, that's a great question, and there is an absolutely definable answer to it, and I want to look at it. It strikes me that it would be early, early, early in our history, but I could be wrong.
Well, when Jefferson and Madison, right, they ran against each other.
Boy, did they.
President and vice president.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it would just kind of seem to make sense to me, as there are multiple states and everything else that's going on, that you would want to find somebody who is complimentary and do it early. And, you know, if you can't sell in the house, how do you sell outside the house?
Isn't that the theory right now, that Jeb Bush is running for president and that Carly Fiorina is being handled by a lot of the same people that are involved in Jeb? Therefore, she's kind of a pre-selected vice presidential candidate.
Could be. What about Walker and Bush? I mean, now you're bringing in all the states with all the electorals, and things are it's an interesting exercise for me. I don't know. There may be good reasons why it hasn't happened.
Well,
or nobody wants to be number two.
That's
because of
the
ego
thing. It hasn't happened is they barely can fit in the same room to begin with.
See, I'd find an old guy. I'll be your number two.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows how long they'll
watch
last.
Watch that step.
Yeah. Here, let me help you down.
Yeah. But it's not clear to me what in the world we're going to do. I just don't
see. Well, it's so many running, though.
It's just awful. And
do you see it bad, or do you see it as good?
I don't see it as good because what I don't like are totally squandered resources. And the only question we should be asking each one is, show me your path to victory in the Republican primaries. Why are you, as opposed to these other 16 people, the winner? Tell me why. And right now, Trump's the...
He's telling everybody. The other guys are kind of... I think they're kind of stunned and amazed. I mean, when he called the one guy out and gave the cell phone...
Oh, and he... Yeah.
Wasn't that a told thing Rick, of beauty?
No, but Rick Perry, and he said Rick Perry knows he's dumb. So he put on glasses trying to look smart. Gave out his cell phone number, and he didn't have to kill his cell phone; just had to change his SIM card. Right. Who cares?
It seems like there's some spirit and some fun involved again. And of course, we're not on the firing line, but at this point, I don't see it as a bad thing. We're so far out.
But did you hear? And see, that sort of thing cracked me up. And then Trump said, "I'm going to build a fence. It's going to be a huge fence. And at the crossings, we're going to have concessions, which will help pay for it."
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rob Barkley. Rob, leaving the national scene, even though it's...
Rats.
We could probably do a week and a half on that. It's kind of cool. I mean, for me, it's kind of cool right now. But I don't have a horse in the race.
Right.
So we'll see how that plays. Some of the things that are going on at the state. Tom Matson was on last Thursday and was talking about some of the things that are going on throughout the state with public works and roads and Caltrans and all that stuff. I heard a news story after the show that was talking about the fact that gas prices throughout America were going to be, in a couple of months, back down to the $2 level. Oh, boy, oh, boy. And this was top of the hour news, so it's not, it was a weird situation, except for California, where the refiners say it's the cost of refinement coupled with the energy legislation and laws that are in place, California EPA, I would presume, and some of the taxes that are put on by the state of California.
But those are paltry taxes, Brian. Little tiny gas taxes.
Yeah, 20% little, huh?
Yeah.
And I started thinking, okay, so if the pump, it's right around $4. So that's 80 cents that are on top that nobody knows anything about. It's not going to the highways. It's not going anywhere. It's undirected, this cap and trade thing. It's just kind of going off into another fund for the governor. And how many people get out of their cars anymore and look at the gas pumps and see what the taxes are? Probably 1 in 5.
No, I don't think it's that high.
Okay. And 2, know what it means if they see it.
That's true.
So is this another reason for, how does that play out in the rest of the country, looking at California? Do they kind of giggle and point and laugh?
California has lost so much credibility. And it's kind of the same as on the Juniper Osera statue. And down in Sacramento, they wanted to remove it and put in some other person, I forget. And Jerry Brown correctly said, no, we're not replacing this. This is part of our history. We're not going to do it. It'll be here forever. So that was a rational decision by Jerry. Great. The next thing he's at the global warming conference doing something in that regard in Rome. So it seems like in California, even when we do something right, we're bound and determined to do, and that's rational to the rest of the country, we're bound and determined to walk off the plank on the other side. And so it cracks me up.
Do Do the business folks that you talk to that aren't already here have any interest in coming to California?
Zero. Zero. Now, we are...
Franchise operators, you know, the brand, those types of guys. Not individual earners, but those that are the guys that have the chain, that are the chains.
Yeah.
Do they care about California anymore if they're not here already?
I think if you're a franchisee, you're going to care because there are a lot of people.
Let's say you're Mr. Wendy's and Wendy's isn't in California. Are you interested in having any restaurants in California?
Of course. There's a lot of people and you're in that business. And to a great extent, a lot of these taxes you can pass on. And so...
Similar to the gas taxes.
Yeah, but no doubt. But the bigger difference is if you're going to locate a widgets factory... create real live middle class jobs and you have a choice, I don't think you pick here. And so now there are certain people that need to be here. We're dealing with people in the oyster business.
If you're trees, you got to be where the trees are.
Trees are here.
That's,
you bet.
Yeah.
And so our natural resource base in the North Coast is an advantage and we're starting to exploit it. We're doing it in the oyster business. And it's going to be a large value-add crop, so to speak, up here. And so that bodes well.
Well, fishing used to be. And I suppose oystering is fishing in a broad sense, like crabs are considered fishing also. But with the timber and the gravel and the things we used to have here, whether the marketplace took us out, okay, or legislation... and regulation took us out. Can any natural-based resource industry have the surety that they'll be able to be here in 10 years?
Well, I think the large timber companies can. And the reason for that is they can get harvest plans together that are sustainable for, you know, their 20-year plans. So they can plan around that. There's a huge amount of fiber grown in this market from a timber standpoint. It's a good, good basket for timber. We have few mills, so it creates a semi-oligopoly situation.
You know what I saw last week?
What?
A logging truck, right? Okay, and you remember the old logging trucks.
You bet.
You know, you'd have like one log or maybe three if they were small trees, right?
Yeah.
Okay, this had a bunch of the toothpicks. And then it had half of a big old log. It would have been one of the three log sizes on. Cut in half. And I immediately started giggling, thinking, gee, don't we have a mill large enough to handle that tree?
The only mill that handles really large stuff that I'm aware of. On a system.
Well, it's maybe a 10-foot diameter. I mean, it wasn't one
no,
of the
that's
big boys.
That's a big.
It's a healthy tree.
Sierra Pacific Emerson Branch Mill in Arcata can handle.
They can still run those?
Yeah, and I think George can too, but I don't know whether he does. But no, systematically handling large timber is not easy, but that's consistent with what the market's providing, meaning the growers are providing. They're on cycles, and we're going to produce, you know, we're kind of at the lowest point of timber we're going to produce, and it's going to grow from here really rapidly. So we've kind of lived
because the marketplace, the national marketplace?
Marketplace and just the way the cycle of the harvesting and the plans that have been produced for the area,
okay.
Timber harvest plans.
So some is and some isn't, so to speak.
Right. But we've gone through the real clear-cut patch, and now a lot of things are catching up. It's good, and it will be sustainable. Everyone likes that word.
Are the mill sites usable, the old former mill sites, usable as industrial sites or as campuses for think tanks? I keep thinking the folks that are in San Jose initially went there, quality of life, you know, Cupertino, blah, 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 blah. Well, if quality of life means gunshots at night, means you see the air before you breathe it, means goofy tasting water, I suppose it's still there. But if that really was one of the basic tenets of locating in the South Bay, in the Silicon Valley, or in the North Bay for that matter, we still have got all that stuff. And we've got these big patches of former mills sitting around that have the infrastructure there. Is it not being marketed properly? Do they not have the interest of coming here? Is there some other impediment to some of these to backfill into the natural resource?
Well, I think that's more of a state issue. And is the state of California an advantaged place to operate that kind of business? Now, we do.
But they're here already. So it's just a relocation issue.
If they're here already, we are advantaged to the extent they don't need transportation. I mean, we're talking to one locally created large business that we have a relationship with. And transportation's a real issue. It's not clear whether they will stay here in the long term just because of lack of transportation.
Straining out 299, non-mover for them?
I can't go into it. I don't know. But suffice it to say, transportation is a problem and a motivator.
For everybody, hopefully.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We'll be back with more from Rob Barkley.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rob Barkley. Rob, what kind of sense do you have here about the local? Tourism seems to be going gangbusters right now, but what sense are you having elsewhere?
Well, I like the idea of Rob Holmland to build out the boardwalk. Hopefully included in the boardwalk is a good, solid outdoor semi-oyster shucking experience, which would be memorable for Humboldt County, and display something that is indigenous to our area. So it
kind of like Lazio's used to have.
You bet. It's a little bit of branding, and it'd be
crabs during that time of the year.
Yep. Fantastic. So I'm optimistic about that. I think things are happening on some of the Broadway blight. Old buildings will be being torn down here and redeveloped. So anything that happens along those lines is good. I'm pretty happy with what's going on. There's work to do. There always is, but we're on our way.
So the inertia is in the right direction rather than being stuck in neutral.
It doesn't feel like it's in neutral right now. We do need a fresh inflow of young kids. We're hiring.
Jobs help that.
Yeah, but we're hiring great kids at Security National. We've hired 20 people in the last couple of months, and the kids are just fantastic. So,
are the trains going to disappear?
Yeah, I think so. Has been a labor of
labor,
and you know, was being sabotaged by a local wacko and things like that. So it'll get done.
More to come. Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right, buddy. Happy summer.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.